Please turn with me to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119. I said these messages in Psalm 119 are real good sheep food. This is the sort of food that you give to real sheep. Goats don't like it, but sheep do need it. Absolutely, it's good stuff. It may not seem exciting stuff or dramatic stuff, but this is the stuff that keeps you alive as a sheep of God. This is the sort of stuff that sustains you and strengthens you and encourages you. Turning to Psalm 119, there was a friend of ours in the States, Jerry Arnold, a good friend. Some of you know her, most don't now. But she just said that when I put something up on Facebook about Psalm 119, she says, our church has been on Psalm 119 over the past year and says we only have a few more weeks left on this. So they spent a year on it. We're only taking a few weeks to draw out the main themes or some key essentials in Psalm 119. But please follow with me. Psalm 119, reading from 145, verse 137. Psalm 119, reading from 137. And it says there, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and cried, I hope in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Let's pray again this morning. Father, we pray for your word, Father, knowing that you're a God who hears prayer and who answers prayer. And Lord God, we pray for the word of God. Give it freedom and liberty here this morning. Open our eyes, O God. We need you to answer prayer, that we fall in love with the word of God. You have warned us in 2 Thessalonians 2, Lord God, that the greatest days of deception are breaking in our world in this generation. And yet you said the only people who will escape this great deception is those who not only believe the word, but who actually have received a love for the truth of God, the written word of God. Father, we do want to love your word. We want to hide it in our hearts. But oh God, we pray together as a church and as individuals, will you bless your word to our hearts? Will you make it speak to our hearts, oh God? Will you reveal yourself? Will you make this book very, very precious unto us? In a day when men mock and laugh and rip the Bible apart and debate and argue about scriptures that are meant to be in it, my God, give us a love for it. We are praying for a love for the word of God. We are praying that you make us obedient and incline our hearts to obey it. In the mighty name of Jesus, that your name might be glorified forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you here this morning. My message, and we have already dealt with several messages on this. We looked at, in Psalm 119, guidance by the word of God. We then looked at holiness through the word of God. And then last week we dealt with meditating on the word of God. These are all themes that flow through this one psalm, the biggest psalm and the largest chapter in the entire Bible. But here this morning I want to deal with prayer and the word of God. Prayer and the word of God. Do you realize that Psalm 19 is a prayer? It is a song. We do sing it. They did used to sing it. But it's actually a prayer from beginning to end. 172 verses. A prayer about the word of God. A prayer for the word of God. A prayer that God would make the word of God effective in our heart. Saints, hear me this morning. Never separate prayer from the word of God, and never separate the word of God from prayer. If you go to prayer apart from this book, your prayer is going to be very dry. And hear me, if you go to the word of God and yet there's no prayer involved with that, this book is going to get very dry. But bring the word of God and prayer together. What does the Lord say concerning marriage? What God has joined together, let no man tear asunder or put asunder. You know what? God has joined prayer and the word of God. And if you're struggling in reading the word of God, the Bible, in studying it, go to prayer. Pray before you go to this book. And you know what? If you're struggling in prayer and you go, I don't know what to pray, and it's very dry and it's very hard, you know what you do? You go to this book. George Mueller, that great man of faith, he said, I struggle terribly in my prayer life. That man of faith, he said, when I would go to prayer, it was very hard. And then he said, I learned a secret. Meditate on the word of God before you go to prayer. Since I learned something from George Mueller when I read that, you know what? I always go to the word of God. And as I meditate in it and begin to read it and begin to allow God to speak to me, I spontaneously begin to pray. My heart rises up in prayer. But you know what? Also what happens is that when I go to pray, when I'm really seeking the Lord, I'm always led back to the word of God. Look with me at verse 145 here in this psalm. Prayer and the word of God. What does he say in verse 145? Here's the psalmist who wrote this. He said, I cried with my whole heart. That is true prayer. Not saying little prayers. Not token, Lord bless me. I thank God for short simple prayers. But saints, there's something about true prayer that is of the whole heart. I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. There's a big difference between praying and saying prayers. A big difference. Anybody can say prayers. But to actually pray, I cried unto the Lord. What did he pray? Hear me. Hear me, I will keep thy statutes. Saints, when you go to prayer and you say, I'm determined to obey the word of God, I will keep your statutes. This word of God actually carries weight with me. You know what? I could say, God, hear my prayer. If you're God and you have given an entire Bible You have actually given 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, and you've given all these instructions, and someone doesn't read it, and doesn't obey it, and doesn't respect it, and they go, oh, I love God. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. Oh, I'm a Christian, but it doesn't matter what the Bible says. Do you know what God says in this book? He says, when I try to speak unto you and you didn't listen, and I try to speak unto you and you didn't listen to me, do you know what's going to happen when you cry unto me and say, oh God, help me? He says, I'm not going to listen to you. You see, if you don't listen to God through his word, he will not listen to you in prayer. That's why prayer and the word of God are joined together, and you can never separate them. If you refuse to hear God speaking in the Bible, if you have no respect for the written word of God, if you just say, well, they're only words on a page, and you've never experienced God speaking to you, do you know what? When you come to prayer, you're going to find a brass heaven. I'm not listening to you. Why should I listen to your words? Your words? When my words mean so little to you. If you do not respect God's word, his words on the earth, he will not respect your words in heaven. It is an utter impossibility. He goes further in verse 147. I prevented the dawning. Sorry, in verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me. I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hope in thy word. Look what he's praying here. What is he crying out to God? I hope in your word. I believe your word. I am going to keep your word. Saints, that's a very powerful prayer. Maybe you've never prayed that before. Maybe you've never went to God and say, oh God, I'm asking you to bless me because you know that I'm going to obey you. You know that I'm going to keep your word. Show me, teach me from this Bible. Why? Because I want to do it. I want to hear you. I want to follow you. Saints, that is a powerful prayer. When you begin crying out to God and saying, I will keep your word. You know my heart. You know my life. If you speak unto me, I will do it. But speak unto me. It says in verse 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. 170 says, let my supplication come before thee. Do you realize in this psalm he's praying about his prayers? He is praying, Lord, I want you to receive my prayers. He's praying about his own prayers. This entire psalm is a prayer. And saints, in this psalm, note this as we begin here. In this psalm of 172 verses, and it's all about the word of God. The entire psalm's about the word of God. But there are 68 distinct prayers. And I actually counted them yesterday. 68, some say 70, some say 60. I counted 68. You may count more or less, I don't know. But there are 68 distinct prayers. And I'm going to preach on all of them this morning. No, I'm not. I'm only going to preach on four, I think. But since there's 68 clear prayers within this psalm that ought to be prayed in line with God's word. Listen to what some of them are. Do not forsake me. Do not let me wander from your word. Teach me thy word. Deal bountifully with me according to your word. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things out of thy word. These are all prayers. Remove reproach and contempt far from me. Quicken me with thy word. Give me understanding of thy word. Turn away mine eyes from vanity and turn them to thy word. Put me not to shame. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Incline my heart to keep your word. Turn away my eyes from vanity. Establish thy word to me. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Remember me according to thy word. Are you getting the message here this morning? Let the proud be ashamed. These are all prayers. Let those that fear you Turn unto me. What a prayer to actually say, all those who fear you, who love you, who obey your word, let them gather to me. Saints, what a prayer. Send me godly friends. Send me those who really fear you and deliver me from wicked men. He says, be surety for me. Help me. Save me. Uphold me. Let me not be ashamed. Order my steps in thy word. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. Make your face to shine upon me. Deliver me. Consider how I love thy precepts. Look what he said. Lord, I am praying. Will you look upon me and see how much I love your word? Have you ever prayed that and said, Lord, I do love your word. I know I'm not all that I ought to be or meant to be, but I do love your word. I do listen to what you say. Lord, will you look upon me and see how much I love your word? Saints, prayer is greater than asking things. I count 68 distinct prayers, and yet this entire psalm is a prayer from beginning to end. It's all prayer. All prayer is not asking things. Do you hear me this morning? All prayer is not saying, Lord, I want this, or Lord, this. You know what a lot of prayer is communion and fellowship and speaking about his word. This was an entire prayer dominated in every single sentence by the word of God. If you begin to quote the word of God in prayer, you're going to have powerful prayers. Find a promise to pray from. Stand upon the word of God. Some people say, I don't know what to pray. Begin to pray the word of God. You said, God, you have written, God, you have promised. Saints, this is a dynamite book. This is a book that will set your heart on fire. It will breathe life into your prayer life. There are specific prayers, but the whole thing is prayer, because our relationship with God is communion. It's a relationship. It's a friendship. But within that, I ask specific prayers that are in line with the word of God. You have not because you ask not. Oh, I don't know why God is a movement in my life. Are you asking him? Are you praying specifically? Lord, I need you. I'm crying. Save me. Help me. Deliver me. Here this morning, I just want to deal with four of these prayers. Just four simple prayers. Out of these 68 that I believe are very, very important. I want to deal with, first of all, here. And you'll find it all through the psalm. This is the first prayer, a very simple prayer. And I want you all to pray it. And I want us as a church to pray it. What is it? Teach me. I know I've mentioned this before and dealt with it before. But I want you to hear this. That in this prayerful psalm, he constantly asks, Lord, will you teach me? In fact, this simple statement, teach me, is prayed 9 times out of 68 prayers. 9 of them are, will you teach me? In the Old Testament, we read this word teach 85 times. Teach, the word teach. 85 times. And yet it's in this psalm. He's praying 9 times. Will you teach me? Do you know teaching can never be separated from God's word? I've just told you something very important that most of the church do not know. They think they can separate God teaching you from the Bible, from the word of God. You can separate, oh God, teach me. And you never go to this book. If you don't go to this book, God cannot and will not teach you. Listen to the first time in the Old Testament that God uses the word teach. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1. He says, hearken, O Israel. That means listen. Listen to me. Give me your ears. Open your heart to me. Listen to what he says. Listen very carefully. Unto the statutes and the judgments. Notice that God is speaking to Israel as a nation. And he's saying, I want you to hearken unto me. How does he do that? Listen to my statutes and my judgments which I teach you. In other words, all the commands of this book, that is God trying to teach you. If God is going to teach you, what does he use? He uses this book. Anyone who has a low view of this book, you're not taught of God. Show me a man who loves this book, they're taught of God. God is actually teaching them. But you know what? If you don't go to this book, how is God going to teach you? Line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how doctrine is taught to babes. That's how teaching is taught to children, or to young Christians, or to any one of us. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Oh, God speaks to me in dreams and visions and prophecies and even angels. Oh, I believe in all those things. But that isn't how God teaches you. He'll never send an angel to teach you. Do I believe in angels? Yes. Yes, I do. Do I believe in miracles and prophecies? Yes. But prophecy isn't for teaching. The word of God, the word of truth has been given to you to actually teach you. This word for teach is actually the word lamad. And listen carefully, I'm going to tell you what it means here. It means to teach. You say, well, that's obvious. Okay, let me go further. And this is the Strong's Concordance definition of the word teach. It means to teach or to goad. Now we're dealing with something else. In brackets, the rod being an oriental incentive to teach you. You parents who have a child, if you're a biblical Christian, we know what the law of the land says. But it says if you spare the rod, you will destroy that child. You will destroy. There is a whole teaching in the Bible concerning the rod. We're not talking about abuse. We're talking about an act of love towards a child. You know, our generation is filled with proud, arrogant kids growing up. They speak back to their parents. They're rude. They're arrogant. We have a whole generation in their 20s that are nothing but rebels. They don't respect government. They don't respect the law of the land. They don't respect those who are older than them. They don't respect anything. That didn't used to be. You know why? Even within amongst sinners, there used to be discipline. There was correction. Now we've taken that out. We've taken the cane out of the school. Now the laws, you can bust up someone's house, beat them up down the road here, and you'll go to the judge, and you'll look very sad, and he'll say, poor little critter, sure, do you promise not to do it again? They slap them over the wrist. Saints, I'm telling you, the criminals in Limerick have no fear of the law. They laugh at the law. It is no punishment at all. And saints, as soon as you remove that, there is a problem. You see, within the word teach, I am saying, if you love your child, you'll discipline them. You'll correct, you'll say, don't do that. Don't do that. You've had a chocolate biscuit. You're not getting 10 more before you go to bed. If you give them all that they want, you don't love that child. You don't care about that child. Saints, there has to be teaching of that child. Train them in the way they're to go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. Do you know what in this psalm, what the psalmist said? Lord, I want you to teach me. I want you to instruct me from the word of God, from the Bible, from your statutes, your judgments, your precepts, your commandments. I want you to teach me. I want you to be my teacher through the Bible. I want you to reveal yourself. Saints, I don't want to stay the same I am. I want to grow into conformity to Jesus Christ. How does he do it? Through the instruction of the word. But within that is a goad or a rod. And I'm going to explain what this means a bit further. It says in verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Verse 26, teach me thy statutes. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Verse 64, teach me thy statutes. Verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge. Verse 68, teach me thy statutes. Verse 108, teach me thy judgments. Verse 124, teach me thy statutes. Verse 135, teach me thy statutes. Lord, send me a vision. Lord, send me an angel with a clear word and I'll know what to do and I'll obey you. I doubt it. Do you realize Balaam got sent an angel from heaven, from the presence of God, with a sword? Yeah. And that angel could still hardly stop him. If it wasn't for the dumb donkey dashing his foot against the wall, the angel would have killed him. Be very careful of thinking, I would obey F. Since you need to go to the Word of God, I'm beginning to say, teach me. Teach me how to live this Christian life. Show me what to do in this situation. I don't want to do my own will. I want to be led or guided by you. You see, the rod in the Old Testament was an instrument you only use with sheep. You don't bother using a rod with goats or with camels or anything else. A rod is vital in the life or the training or the guarding of a sheep. Listen to what it says in Leviticus 27:32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock of sheep, even of whatsoever, notice this, passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Now notice what's happening. You've got a whole herd of sheep. And that shepherd holds a rod over the sheep. All the sheep have to pass under the rod. All the sheep. If you're a real sheep, you've got to pass under the rod. In other words, he's saying, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. You're in the sheepfold. You know, someone who doesn't come under the rod of the shepherd is not a sheep. You're a rebel. You're a rebel. Do you know what he said? No, you're a goat. You're not coming under the rod. Only sheep come in under the rod. Do you know what it's a symbol of? God teaching a sheep, saying, you're mine. You're mine. You come under my authority, under my rod. It goes further here. Listen to what it says. And the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Out of the entire sheepfold, he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Tenth, you're especially mine. You're the tenth. You belong to the Lord. So all the sheep passed under the rod, and every tenth one, he said, you belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. As it comes under the rod. You see, the rod is an instrument of bringing order in amongst God's sheep. Or listen to another verse here in Ezekiel chapter 20. And verse 37, Ezekiel 20:37, and it says, and I, this is God speaking, and I will cause you to pass under the rod. He's speaking to his people, his saints. I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Notice here what he is saying. I want to establish you in my covenant. How does God establish you? Or confirm you, or make you strong in a covenant relationship with himself? Do you know what he does? He brings you under the rod. Anyone who doesn't want the rod isn't going to enjoy the blessing of a covenant relationship with God. You know what he's going to do with every person? He says, I'm going to bring you under the rod. If you're not willing to come under my rod, or my teaching, my instruction, if you're not willing to come under the rod of the shepherd, do you know what? You are not being brought into the bond of the covenant. Do you realize God wants to take you further through the rod, through using the rod? And since he's not hitting you with it, he's trying to guide you with it. The rod is an instrument of direction, saying, this is the way to covenant. This is the way to the bond of the covenant. What's the word bond mean? It means a very tight-knit, compact thing. You see, there's many people in the church, they're going everywhere. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't look at what the Bible says about seeking for a wife or a husband, or seeking a church, or seeking a move. They don't care about that. Do you know all they care about is, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and this is my decision. Then you haven't come under the rod. You see, when you come under the rod, you say, not my will, your will be done. You see, when you come under the rod, you're saying, teach me. Actually, teach me your word. Teach me your command. I will keep your commandments. And do you remember in Psalm 23? We all know it so well. Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. But listen this verse. Thy rod and the staff, they comfort me. What's the shepherd doing with a rod and a staff? Why doesn't he just have a staff? They're two different instruments for two different purposes. They aren't for the same thing. You see, the staff is a sign of authority. It is a symbol of deliverance. In other words, if any wolf comes, or any bear comes, or any enemy comes, you know what the shepherd uses? He uses his staff against the enemy. That is for the enemy, it's not for the sheep. The staff isn't for the sheep. And you know what? Every time that sheep looks and sees that staff, man, I'm comforted. What does the rod and staff do? They comfort you. In other words, I see that mighty staff. Oh boy, I can remember when he drove away that wolf and he defeated that enemy and he rescued me. Now a big bear was coming to devour me and he got his staff out and he whacked him. Since that staff is a symbol of defeating the enemy, of the authority of the shepherd to protect you. But what's the rod here? Notice the rod isn't for the enemy. It's not to hit the enemy. It's for the sheep. You see, this rod is actually for the comfort of the sheep. The word comfort there means to sigh, to sigh. If any of you have seen Shiloh, my pet dog, when Candace begins to rub her ears, and it's remarkable, it's amazing. If you've never seen this, if we put this on YouTube, there will be a million watches of it, I assure you. And Candace begins to rub her ears first thing in the morning, and she just begins to, she sighs. And she begins to groan. And the enjoyment, the comfort. Do you know what? The rod brings comfort to a true sheep. Not to a goat. Not to someone who doesn't enjoy God's word. You know what that rod is? I am going to guide you. I am going to train you. I'm going to lead you to where you're meant to go. To be in the right place. You see, the rod is a sign. And listen to this. This is what it means. The rod is a symbol of correction. Discipline, instruction, separation, and training. The rod is used on a child, but it's also used on a sheep. You're not looking to hurt your child. You don't want to damage them emotionally or physically or spiritually. You don't want to do that. What are you looking to do? There's something in the heart of that child, and this rod is meant to deal with it. There's something wrong. You know what? Every real Christian has something wrong within them. It's called the flesh, the old nature, the Adamic nature. And you know what? Issues of the heart do rise up in a real believer. They can get proud. They can have unforgiveness come. They do get attitudes. They do forget the word of God. God brings his rod to say, I'm guiding you. Since this entire psalm is saying, teach me thy word. I want to come under your rod. I want to come into the bond of the covenant. I want to go deeper with you. That's the first prayer. Since will you begin to pray this in us as a church? Teach me. And as you say, teach me. Let me remind you one other important thing. Do you know anyone else who God did this with? Do you think there's only for sheep? Remember what Jesus says, we've all been like straying sheep. Even sinners are called sheep. All sinners are not called goats. Very important you see that. You can be a sinner, and yet you're a straying sheep, you're a lost sheep, you're not a goat. Do you know what you have to be a goat? You have to be in the church claiming to be a Christian and you hate the word of God and you hate holiness. That is a goat. That is a goat. But don't say that a sinner is a goat. They're not goats. They're not goats. There's plenty of lost sheep out there. And you know what? The Lord's dealing with them. Let me tell you about just one of them. Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. Listen to what the Lord says to him when he meets with him. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou hast been persecuting. Listen to the next statement. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And the word there means the goad. It's the rod. It's actually the goad that you put in the hind end of a cow to make the cow move on down the road to go in the right direction. Do you know what Jesus said to Saul? I have been trying to bring you under the rod. I've been trying to goad you. I've been trying to get you to salvation. And you have fought me. And you have rebelled. And you have hated. And you have frothed in your mouth. Saints, The good shepherd was after Saul as a sinner. And he says, I'm trying to reach you. Stephen, when he's getting stoned, is preaching salvation. Those words were meant to be like goads that stuck in your heart that said, come under the rod. Come under the rod. Come into the sheepfold. Here this morning, you may not be saved or born again. But you know what? Come under the rod. There is someone trying to goad you. And you know what? It's very, very hard to kick against the shepherd. He knows what's best for you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's trying to get you into safety. And you kick. You fight. You stubbornly wrestle. And you know all the time, he's goading and goading and goading. And you know what? It hurts to kick against the teaching and the instruction of God. Second of all, I may not get very far with these. I was only going to do 4 out of the 68. I may only get 2 here this morning. But listen, the second prayer, not only teach me, but revive me. Revive me. Revive me. Where's the word revive in this psalm? Actually, it's the word quicken. In our King James, the word quicken is used, or to make alive. Throughout this psalm, it's either translated into the English as quicken or to live. And the word is used 16 times in this psalm, in this prayer, 16 times. He prays to God saying, will you quicken me? Since this ought to be a part of your prayer life, not only teach me, but quicken me. What does the word quicken mean? It means to revive me, restore me, renew me. It means keep me alive or preserve me alive. Don't let anything come in that's going to be a danger to my spiritual life. The word actually means to enliven, and that's the word I like best. I pray it often. Lord, enliven me. Enliven me. Fill me with life. Restore the life. I know I'm born again, but man, the pressures, the attacks of Satan, the trials, all of these things come in and you go, the life is squashed out of me. It's like getting a sponge and you squeeze it. And all the water drains out of it. Sometimes in the trials, we feel like we've been wrung out and there's no more life left in me. And you know what you have to say? Lord, revive me. Lord, quicken me. This is a vital prayer that's being prayed here. Look at verse 25 with me. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. This psalmist is a holy man. He's a holy man. He's a man of prayer. He's a man who meditates on the word of God. He's a man who says, I will do the word of God. He loves the word of God. But look at him in verse 25. He says, my soul. What's the soul? It's not the spirit. It's not the body. What is the soul? That is your will, your emotions, your thoughts. That's what the soul is. And he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. See that whole emotional, mental realm of me? It is cleaving to the dust. It is stuck to the dust. Have you ever been there, saints? Have you ever had the experience like you've got stuck in a place and you are stuck to the dust of the ground? I mean, you're glued to it. You're stuck to it. You're pressed into the muck of the earth and your entire soul feels like you're cleaving. You know what happens when you, have you ever stuck your fingers to Yoo-hoo? Is it Yoo-hoo that's the strong one? Super glue, I'm thinking of. And you start doing, you go, I'm going to do it. None of it's going to get in my hands. I'm only going to put it on this item and this item. None of it is going to get in my hands. I've never managed it yet. It always ends up in my hands. And then I'm going, be careful of sticking your fingers together. You know what he says? You're glued. You're stuck to the dust of the earth. Saints, what's the answer? Do you know you can get so, your soul can get so stuck. Not stuck to the word of God. Not stuck to Christ, not stuck. You feel emotionally and mentally, you feel like you've been stuck to the dust of the earth and you cannot get free. You have been glued to it. You're stuck to that stuff that is worthless. Yeah. It's of this world. It feels dire. It's a place of uncleanness. And he said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. This is when he begins to pray this. Saints, when you're in this spot, begin to pray, revive me, quicken me. Come and revitalize me. Renew me within my spirit. I cannot help myself. I am praying unto you. 16 times he prays it in this psalm. Look what he says in verse 25. Quicken me according to the word. Do you see what I've just read?
Yeah.
Quicken me according to the written word of God. Never separate the written word of God from your relationship with God. Oh, it doesn't matter about the book. I can have this relationship. This book isn't that important. It's a guide. It helps me. I'll go to the odd time to learn something. Quicken me, revive me according to this book. Saints, that's the sort of revival I want. I've seen people, they laughed and they fell down. They're no more spiritual. They weren't drawn to the word of God. They said, oh, I've had a revival. I've been in spiritual revival. What happened to you? Nothing of the word of God in this. I've seen revivals in America where the chief leader stood up and they actually despised the Bible and said one of the greatest miracles that could happen is for God to stop the mouth of a Bible teacher. That's a demon from hell. Do you hear me? You see, spiritual revival will have everything to do with this book. Every true revival has brought the church back to this book. You see, not only individual revival, but church revival. I want a revival in this church. Since we as a church can go through times where we feel, man, we've got locked into something. We're stuck as a church. We were doing so good evangelizing and preaching and praying and seeking the Lord and walking before Him. And then, man, my soul feels, in fact, as a church, it can seem like we're cleaving to the dust of the earth. You know what the answer is? Lord, revive us according to your word. I want what's in this word. Since that's a standard, don't get satisfied with what it looks like out here. Lord, I want fire. Lord, I want to walk with you. Lord God, I want to be burning for you and walking with all my heart in holiness and righteousness. Give me a revival according to the word. Word of God. Since the psalmist is praying this, revive me according to your word. If you don't know what the word says about revival and what you can be and what you ought to be, how are you going to pray? Oh Lord, send a revival. What do you mean? What do you mean? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. So you're not praying in faith then. And you know what? When you don't know what you're asking for, you're guaranteed to get it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Saints, know what you're praying for. I know what I want in my spiritual life. I know what I want to be. I know what I desire and what God teaches me. I want this to be real. I want to be like the disciples of old. I want to be like the early church. And I want this church. I don't want this church to be like any other church in the city. And there's good people in this city, but I don't want this church, I want this church to be like this. I want us to be revived according to the book. It says in verse 37, turn away mine eyes from vanity. Do you know there's many things are vanity in this city? Many things are offering themselves to you in your individual lives. They're vanity. They're empty. They're useless. They're hopeless. They don't mean anything to God's kingdom. Do you think the psalmist, the spiritual man of God, was beyond being drawn by those things? No, he had vain things rise up in his family life, in work, in home, in relationship. And he says, man, my eyes are looking at things. Here I am gazing, spending time, and they're vanity. All is vanity, utter vanity. It's empty. But what does he pray? Listen, that's the difference between him and us so often. Here we are being drawn by vain things and caught up and we feel miserable and we go, this isn't good and this isn't spiritual. And you never pray. You ought to be praying, Lord, turn my eyes away from vanity. Help me. He's not just saying, I ought to turn my eyes away. God commands me to turn my eyes away. He doesn't say that. He says, oh God, will you help me here? Will you turn my eyes away? I know my eyes need to get off these things. Since the grace of God is in prayer. The grace of God is really in prayer. And he said, turn my eyes away from beholding vanity. And listen to this. And quicken thou me in thy way. I'm asking you, turn my eyes away and revive me again. Or what about in Psalm? Or in verse 50, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. Are you in affliction? That means trial or trouble. You're going through affliction. You're being afflicted. Do you know what he actually prays? This is my comfort in affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He's not now praying, will you quicken me? He says, you know what, through the trials and the troubles, the only reason I'm here this morning, oh, the trials, I could tell you, the afflictions, the heartbreaking troubles. Do you know why I'm here this morning? Thy word quickened me. How many people do you testify and say, this morning in the preaching, God quickened me through the word? Do you know I've been healed in services through the word of God? As it was preached, God healed my physical body. He quickened my physical body. Do you know emotionally and spiritually through the preaching of the word of God? Since we go looking for experiences, why not begin to pray like the church did? Do you realize that when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, as he began to preach, 3,000 are born again? God doesn't just send his Holy Spirit down. Do you know before that happened, the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room. I mean the real Holy Spirit. There came a wind from heaven. There came fire on every head. They all began to speak in other tongues, the language of the people. No one's looking to get saved. Not one soul. Read Acts chapter 2 again. Here's the power of God and the miracles of God. Nobody's crying out, what must I do to be saved? They're going, what's this? These people are drunk. These people have been drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. Look at them. They've had too much drink. The drink's gone in and the wit's gone out. That's what's happened to them. Do you know what Peter done next? Peter stood up. Listen, they're going, what's wrong with you bunch? Yeah. He stands up and he begins to preach the word of God. He quotes from the Old Testament. He gives scripture. And as he does, within a short sermon, 3,000 people are crying out, what must I do to be saved? Since God revives through the word of God, God saves through the word of God, God heals through the word of God, God can encourage you through the word of God. You can be in a trial, stuck to the dust, and through the preaching of God's word, or the reading of God's word, or the hearing of God's word, you can literally be delivered in a remarkable, amazing way. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Verse 175, let my soul live. That's the word live. Quicken. Revitalize. Let my soul be revitalized. Saints, do you feel the need of revival here this morning? Do you need a spiritual revival? When you read the Bible, do you look at yourself and go, oh God, revive me? Begin to pray. Say, oh God, quicken me. I'm looking for revival in my soul, in my spiritual life. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And thy judgments help me. Do you realize that he says, if you revive me, I'm going to praise you. Boy, am I going to praise you. If you revive my heart, I'm going to sing. I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout Sunday morning. Lord, if you revive me, I'm coming in here and praying on Sunday morning. And I'm going to come in here and testify. And I'm going to sing like I've never sung. You know what it is? You're saying, Lord, if you revive me, I'm going to do this. I'll bring praise into your house. I'll bring sacrifices and offerings unto you, into your house. He goes further in Psalm 138 verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Not only are we asking that God revive us through his word, but we are asking him, revive me that I might keep your word, and that I might do your word. Listen to this just as we close here. In verse 17 of this psalm, he prays, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live or be revitalized. Why? And keep thy word. Yes. Are you struggling to keep the word of God? Are you fighting to obey the word of God? Are you wrestling over making a decision whether to do your will or to do the word of God? Can I ask you, begin to pray for your spiritual revival. Lord, quicken me. Revitalize me. Because see, when you begin to revitalize me, I am going to keep your word. Show me a Christian revived. They're keeping the word of God. Show me who isn't keeping the word. Oh, sure, I don't need to do that. Then you're in a terrible spiritual condition. No, I'm under grace. I'm in the new covenant. I'm in Christ. I'm New Testament. I don't need to keep commandments. You can't lay burdens on me. Then you're in a terrible spiritual condition. Because when I see someone who's alive in God and burning for God and revitalized, you know what I see? I see someone who says, I will keep your word. I will obey your word. Verse 40, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Saints, I've got another hour to preach to you, but you won't manage it this morning. I've got another hour to preach on. I wish you were those that could sit for 3 hours to preach on. Pray for, have mercy on me. That was that word I told you before the service. That's dynamic. Dynamic. I can't believe that I can't preach on it this morning. But you've got to pray, have mercy on me. And fourthly, deliver me. These are the other two prayers. And yet they're only four prayers out of many prayers in this psalm. Never separate your prayer life from the Word of God. Saints, do you see what happens when we get into the Word of God? I begin to pray, teach me. I begin to pray, will you revive me? Will you spiritually quicken me? Through your word. Do you know the word of God has been given to quicken your spiritual life, to make you alive, to make you stand on your feet? It's not only the Holy Spirit separate from the word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Bible, the word of God. You know, all across our nations, people are seeking to fall down when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. But if you go to Ezekiel, it says, when the Holy Spirit came upon me and came in me. God put his spirit in me and he set me up on my feet. I want to see a few more Christians being set up on their feet and walking right and living right and speaking right and thinking right. For me, that would be a miracle in this hour. If I was to see a great army, thousands stand up and say, the spirit of God put me back on my feet. You know, some of these people who roll about on the floor, and I believe in real trances, and I believe the Holy Spirit can fall on you. I believe that. I've experienced that. But saints, I'm saying the real Holy Spirit will put you on your feet again and say, go do the word of God. Please stand with me here this morning. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song.